Okay, tonight we're in Paul's first journey, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 13. So, as you look at the map here, you see Israel over here, of course, and then the Mediterranean Sea, and Lebanon's up in here. He was up in Antioch. Antioch was this ascending church. That's where they began. In Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, which was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manahen, which has been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away." So the two men, Barnabas and Saul, were commissioned by the church there in Antioch and sent off on their first journey. So the blue line here, or the yellow line, sorry, the yellow line represents their journey out, and the blue one represents their journey back, so I can distinguish them a little bit. And the yellow one doesn't show up as well as it did on the computer. Sorry about that. But so they start out, and then they go down to, first of all, to Seleucia, and that's where they were sent off from, verse number 4. And so they, being sent forth of the Holy Spirit, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence unto Cyprus. Okay, so from there, they went down to Cyprus. They traveled across Cyprus. When they got over to Paphos on the far side, we see down in verse number 5, it says, "And when they came to Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to the minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false teacher of the Jews, whose name was Bar-Jesus." And this is where they ministered to Bar-Jesus down there in Paphos on the far end. And it was there that Sergius Paulus was saved. And we see in verses 6 to 12, I'm not going to read all those, but this is a section where, you know, sorcerer that was withstanding him, and Paul spoke a word and the Lord blinded him, and then as a result of that, Sergius Paulus said, "Whoa, that was powerful, and I guess your God's really true," and so he trusted Christ as Savior and was saved. And so that was there at Paphos. Okay, so you can see where we're headed there. All right, from there they traveled up to mainland, and they got to Perga, and this is where Mark quit. Nobody knows the reasons behind that, but in chapter 13, verse number 13, "Now when Paul and his company loosed Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." We don't know exactly how long they were there. We don't know exactly what took place. Why did John back out? Nobody really knows. It upset Paul. And later on, we'll find out that he was very upset about that. Some say that Paul may have been sick there at Paphos. Perhaps with malaria. In Galatians chapter 4, he indicates there that he was sick. And some think that it might have been here. Others say it may have been up in Antioch, where he's headed to next. But let me just read the verse here in Galatians chapter 4. And verse 13, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, and received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness I spoke of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them unto me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" I don't really see that indicating that he may have been sick. That doesn't sound like malaria to me. But these are some of the speculations that people have, and this is the passage that they refer to. And so I'm just passing that on to you. You can kind of ponder that and think about that and check it out yourself. But then from there, they traveled up. This would have been Paul and Barnabas now, because Mark went back to Jerusalem and left them. So they traveled up through there. Now, that was a very rugged journey up through there. You know, it wasn't just a nice little trail that went up. It was a rugged journey up in the wild territories, headed up into that area, into Antioch of Pisidia. All right, so don't get them confused. This is Antioch of Syria here, and that's Antioch of Pisidia. Both of them, he started here and he goes over there. So you get both of these in the context here, and it can be confusing. So make sure you keep that separated. This here is Syria, and that area over there was Pisidia. So that was Antioch and Pisidia. All right, so it was a busy town there. His success was no doubt in great measure due to a strong Jewish element in the population, even though it was Jewish persecution that compelled him to leave the city later on. So there was quite a few Jews there. Everywhere he's going, Paul would start with the Jews because he had common ground with them. And that's one of the reasons, you know, sometimes I've looked at it and thought, how did Paul start so many churches so quickly? But one of the reasons was because he always started with the Jews. Well, the Jews knew the scriptures. They knew them well. They just weren't saved. And so once they got saved, they just transferred the information they had in Old Testament and understood it in New Testament terms, and they were ready to go. And so that was how Paul was able to get so many churches established so quickly, because when he went into areas where there were not Jews, it was a bigger struggle, and he had more conflict there. But most of the areas he went contained Jewish people. Okay, if you have any questions along the way, don't be bashful. Okay.
Also, those people, Jews in those churches or in the area would have known Paul, were known of Paul. So there was a...
Some of them would have, perhaps.
Well, they'd have people in common between them as well.
You know? Yeah. He was young, so he wasn't necessarily an older, well-known, like Gamaliel. Gamaliel was well-known by a lot of people because he's older, where Paul was young yet at this point.
But he sat under Gamaliel, didn't he?
He did sit under Gamaliel.
I sat under Gamaliel. Oh, Gamaliel. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So he had things there in common, you're right. So then he moves on to Iconium, and in chapter 13, verse number 51, 1351, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. All right, so while they were there in Antioch, things went sour. The Jews loved him, but then things went sour and they turned against him, and many of them, you know, rejected him. They raised up a persecution against him in verse number 50. And then he shakes off the dust and goes down to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. All right, so he gets down to Iconium. And then chapter 14, we'll go down for a few verses here. And in verse number 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. And the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made them their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. And the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the regions that lieth round about. So, they had a good reception. Multitudes came to know the Lord, but there were many who didn't, and the ones that didn't really got violent. You know, why do you think that these, particularly the Jewish people, why were they riled up about Paul?
Gives you a bit of a turncoat as far as that was concerned.
Yes.
He was the Pharisee of the Pharisees, and now he's
yes, but I think a lot of it had to do with that he was promoting a Christ, he was promoting the Messiah that they didn't believe in. It's the same problem the Jews have today. They just don't want to believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And that's what the whole issue was. Paul was saying he is the Messiah. And some of them saying, yeah, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. And others say, absolutely not. That couldn't have been the Messiah. And so there's a lot of animosity. So the ones that followed him with a passion because they were rejoicing. And the ones who didn't, they were adamant against him. John?
They're probably also angry because they were under a lot of Roman persecution at this time, that part of the world. An influence. So a lot of the Jews, you know, wanted the Messiah to be almost a dictatorial strong man that will kind of crush the Romans. And them going around saying Jesus is kind of like a turned out of cheek kind of guy, wouldn't have gone well with them because it'll be going exactly against what they want. They want to crush the Romans.
Well, that's, that's
not just submit and live with them.
That was the big problem that Jesus had even down in Jerusalem.
It wouldn't have been very different in other Jewish
right.
Romans because everybody has under the influence one way or another. The Romans affected their life.
Yeah. Yeah, they were looking for an authoritative Messiah. All right, so he gets down in Antioch or Iconium there, and he ends up getting run out of there as well. And then he goes down to Lystra, and here he's stoned and left for dead. Verses 19 and 20. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. Right, so that was a long hike. I mean, it looks like a short little distance, but look at the distance things here. You're talking about a good long hike to get down there from Antioch, down there over those mountains. But they hated him. And so they came down there with a purpose to get rid of this guy. So they're following in his trail, and they get down there, and they raise up the persecution against him, and they persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Howbeit, as his disciples were round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, there's a lot of debate, and none of us know, was Paul dead or wasn't he dead? Some say, no, they thought he was dead, but he rose up. But listen, if they threw rocks at him well enough to think that he was dead, he was not in good shape. I mean, you stop and think about it. If somebody hit you with great big rocks in the head and all over your body, it would break your limbs, it would break your ribs, it would crush your skull, it would do all kinds of terrible, terrible things to you. So whether Paul was dead and rose again, I don't know. I mean, some say that, you know, remember when Paul said that he went to heaven in a spirit, and you know, some people say, well, that's when Paul got that vision when he was stoned to death in Lystra, and got that vision and God brought him back. I don't know, who knows, but he was not in good shape either way, and yet for him to be able to get up and walk, that was a miracle of God. I mean, here's a man that these guys, they stoned him until they were dead. Now, as a boy, there were times when I had to put down different animals, sometimes wild ones, sometimes domestic ones that were sick. And you didn't finish the job until you knew they were dead. All right? You just kept on after them until you knew for sure they were dead. You didn't want them wiggling. Well, they looked the same way with Paul. So I am convinced that they were vicious with him, and they reckoned he was dead, and drug him out, threw him on the rubbish pile, and he came to life again. So whether he was dead or not, God knows, but it was not a good situation, no matter what the case may be. Then he gets up and he moves on to Derbe. This guy's tough. You know, it's just unbelievable. He raised up, verse 20, we just read that, he went to Derbe, and verse number 21, and when they had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. You know, think about your own self. I think about then, I'd say, you know, it's just over those mountain ranges and we'd be at Tarsus. Home sounds like a pretty good place about now. Yeah, but he was determined. And he goes back and he meets with those Christians. Notice here, in verse 22, see, I think I have another slide here. He confirmed the disciples. So all the way back that trail, all the way back to Antioch, verse number 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And he ordained elders in every church, and when he prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So, to confirm the churches, or confirm the believers, doesn't mean they had a little ceremony with a little water on them or something silly like that. But it simply means that he was strengthening them. He was building them up. Said, all right, all you who put your faith and trust in Christ, we're going to have a meeting tomorrow morning. We're going to spend some time. I'm going to tell you some more things about the scriptures. He shared with them the word of God, built them up, strengthened them. Said, now hold strong, be faithful. You know, God has helped me. He brought me through that stoning at Lystra. And if God can do that for me, he can do that for you. And he just encouraged them, built them up, and prepared them for the struggles that they would have in their days ahead. Okay?
We
yes, sir.
Paul was staying. Is that Lystra?
That was Lystra. Okay. So here he was. It was at Lystra he was stoned, and then he went to Derbe, and then he traced his path back again to Antioch.
So he didn't get back to Lystra.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah. So we just read that here, verse number 21. When they had preached the gospel in that city, Derbe, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch.
He was game, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. He was tough. I just know the coward in me, I would have been headed home after being left for dead on a rubbish pile.
Straight down there.
Yeah, but Paul was a good example, and God helped him. I mean, God did the miracle to raise him up, no matter whether he was dead or whether he was just broken to bits. Either way, you don't get up and walk the next day and go down to the next town to preach.
100 kilometers away.
Exactly. So that doesn't happen without a miracle. So God evidently raised him up and gave him back his strength. And so seeing that God did that for him, he had the courage to turn around and go right back at it again. And an amazing man. The Apostle Paul really was an amazing man. And one that, you know, we just can't hardly believe some of the things that he actually endured and did, but God gave him grace. Okay?
That's
yes, sir.
Modern day, what part of the world is that where Iconium, Lystra, Derbe are?
Well, it's in Turkey.
Is that southern Turkey?
Yeah, so all that's Turkey there.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Oh, yeah, what's to Turkey today? I guess the Ottomans weren't there yet at the time.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not Turkey anymore.
It's called Turkey.
Turkey.
They've changed it.
Yeah.
No, it's
Turkey to me. All right. So then from there, they move on down to Perga and then to Attia. All right, so then verse number 24. And after they pass through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. All right, so these are two regions. Pamphylia, you can see, is spelled out there. Pisidia is the area around Antioch, and it's not titled there. Pisidia is the northern part. Pamphylia is the coastal part. So they passed through those regions, very likely preaching the gospel as they came down through those mountain trails and things like that. There was probably villages and things along the way there as well. But no major cities.
And verse Antalya is the modern day Antalya, which is like a resort area in Turkey.
Could be.
Antalya.
Verse number 25. And when they had preached the word at Perga, they came to Attalia, and from thence they sailed to Antioch. All right. So they got down to Attalia. The first time they just evidently took a boat up the river to Perga, but Attalia is right on the coast of the ocean, and so they caught a ship there, got a ship back to Antioch, and so they made their journey back there to Antioch and to their sending church. Okay, so they sailed back to Antioch, verse 26, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled.
Do you have any idea how long that whole journey took?
No. I should know. It wasn't a great long time, but it was. Yeah. Yeah. It was not a few weeks. It was longer than that. It would have been months and months. But exactly how long, I don't know that anybody can say for positive. They would be just guessing, I think. Okay. Any other questions?
It's interesting how so many of the places have changed names, but many of the islands are still called the same thing. Like Cyprus is still Cyprus, Crete, Rhodes.
Yeah.
It's just interesting why. I mean, some of the land, like mainland names, are still the same, like that.
It does make you wonder why the towns would have changed their names, but.
Yeah, like a lot of history, I suppose, and things. Hmm.
All right, well, I hope this helps you to be able to just kind of picture it in your mind, put everything together. And in modern times, just remember this is Lebanon up in here, north of Israel. And so Syria is up in here above Israel, above that. That's where this was. Paul was from Tarshish originally, and his homeland area there. And you can see, you know, the lowlands in here probably would have been more fertile area. Obviously, the mountainous areas would have been... not so much.